The Burn Hills Oratorio Society is a nonprofit community chorus whose goal is to nourish our community with the transformative power of music. In their next concert, the Burn Hills Oratorio Society and the Oratorio Orchestra offer three dramatic musical presentations that explore the gift of life. The concert will take place June 15th at the Church of the Immaculate Conception in Glenville, New York. The concert features works by John Rutter, Gustav Holst, and Benjamin Britten. We are joined by Burn Hills Oratorio Society Artistic Director and Conductor William John Gray and President of the Board of Directors Dave Johnson. Thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you both here.
Thanks for having us, Joe.
How nice to hear what you're up to and what's going on. Let us talk about this concert, The Gift of Life. How did this actually come to be?
In the fall of this current season, we performed Haydn's oratorio, The Creation, which is this great 18th century celebration of life and the diversity of life and the miracle of the universe in which we live. And I was looking for a program that would continue that theme and bookend the rest of the season. And John Rutter had composed and premiered this relatively new work of his in April 2015 called The Gift of Life. As you know, a lot of choral music, great choral pieces, are based on texts, religious texts, and other great poetry and great texts from literature. A lot of those texts deal with death and dealing with death, particularly the Requiem text, for instance, Mozart's Requiem, Verdi's Requiem. So I was looking around for a piece that would celebrate life in somewhat of the same way that Haydn did in his Creation. And this piece by John Rutter does that. It's a piece of six movements. All the texts are, in their way, some kind of celebration of the diversity of life and of the joy of living. So that's where it started. And then to that program, we added Gustav Holst's really fantastic chamber opera, Savitri, which is a long dialogue between the character of Savitri and death about the meaning of life. And then we added one final piece by Benjamin Britten, a piece he wrote for friends of his who were interred in a prison camp called The Ballad of Little Musgrave and Lady Barnard. And it has to do with a love triangle and the meaning of true love and love and life and death within this love triangle.
So a lot going on and certainly a lot to celebrate. How did the two of you work together when it comes to the programming? I mean, obviously I understand you're the artistic director, but how does that work with the board and so forth?
Well, we have Dr. Gray's great vision and his amazing experience from his many years in the music industry. And he does his proposals for the board and the chorus to approve. We actually do a presentation in front of the chorus that takes two sessions of rehearsal almost in order for the for you to digest. We just brought out the 2018-2019 season, and that has been approved moving forward. So it's actually a collaboration with Dr. Gray and the board of directors and, of course, the chorus membership.
So tell us a little bit about that chorus membership and what works for them. When you're planning repertoire and planning a program, you think of, oh, we could do this really well.
Yes, that's always a consideration. I mean, the first job of the conductor, the music director, is to choose music that's appropriate for whatever ensemble they're working with. So that's always a very first consideration. I want to pick pieces that the group will do well. But there are some other considerations beyond that. We're going through a kind of revolutionary period in musical performance and choral performance specifically, where we're looking at different formats for the concert experience, both to offer our singers some different experiences and particularly our audiences. You know, choral concerts can be a little bit static, people dressed in black clothes, standing on risers, singing in foreign languages. And We're looking to kind of break the mold with that as we move forward with Burnt Hills Oratorio Society and trying to engage the audience in a more immersive experience. So this concert also has a kind of dramatic idea about it. The concert opens with a performance of a chamber opera for three characters and women's chorus and chamber instrumental ensemble, and then moves on to this piece by Benjamin Britten for male chorus, which is an 18th century English ballad rendered in a very contemporary kind of musical vocabulary. And then the second half of the program, John Rutter's The Gift of Life, will perform not only as a choral orchestral piece, it's a piece for large orchestra and chorus, but we're also going to project images on a large screen by three local artists in our Burnt Hills area. So the images to correspond to the music that we're singing and playing, and hopefully opening up the audience's experience to a visual as well as a musical experience during the course of the concert.
When you think of, and I guess I'm interested, Dave, in your thoughts of what you believe this group does really well.
The community-based chorus, the friendliness and the family, we have many people of great talents. And we bring in this collection of volunteers, many of whom, like myself, are music educators. Some are engineers. Some work for marketing companies. And we all come in together, and we rehearse once a week. And this group was started in 1970 by a music educator in Burnt Hills, Mr. Glenn Solner. Mm. And we are embarking, as you can see on the numbers, we are embarking on our 50th in 2020. So this is a very exciting time and an expansive time for Burnt Hills Oratorio. And the membership creates the board, and we embellish all of the decision-making with the chorus membership, so that they are totally on board. And we were very fortunate in 2015 to bring Dr. Gray on board with his vast experience in many performing venues around the country, and of course his experience from the Jacobs School of Music at Indiana University. Very excited to have him, and we are now at roughly 70 members, and of course growing. We are non-audition. The only element we do is, for Dr. Gray, we have vocal placement. So if you happen to be a soprano one, soprano two, and he also gets to know you. He's very personable that way, and he wants to know all of his choristers and their talents.
I'll ask you, and then we'll go to the artistic side of this. But who do you consider your audience to be?
Our audience is going to vary, as you're familiar with, probably that very popular bell curve idea.
Right.
So when we do the dinner cabaret theater that we have done for 2 years that is absolutely sold out, that audience draws the lovers of Broadway music, of Gershwin, and the season coming up will be Cole Porter. And when we do the Haydn's Creation or the Mozart Requiem, we draw a different element of folks into the bell curve. So we actually reach out to a vast, vast audience from around the area. Our choral cabaret has actually drawn phone calls for tickets from Bennington, Vermont, from Messina, New York. We just took a reservation for this week's concert from someone from Brooklyn, New York. Our outreach is absolutely on target, and we will be offering a Festival of Carols in December, which is a first for us in a while, and that in itself will be very family-friendly and will highlight many of the talented people within the Burnt Hills Oratorio Society Chorus.
I asked that question to you as to your considerations of the audience and who... I assume you don't differ much on that answer, but
there's some other elements though we could talk about. Obviously, we always have the audience in mind when we plan a season, and we're looking to reach out to as many different segments of the community as possible when we plan programming. I think fundamentally, our organization's an educational resource organization for the community. Our mission is all around singing. You know, we live in this time where music has become a product to be purchased online at Amazon or through iTunes. And it's less and less an activity that people engage in themselves in the community. So our mission in the community is to give people the opportunity to kind of shut off their iPods, their iPads, and get out of the house and come out once or twice a week. And we put music in their hands, and we provide them with a place to rehearse and a director and an accompanist, and we teach them the music, and they eventually perform it themselves.
Mm.
So that really speaks to our community educational resources and the mission we're trying to provide in the community. And then in addition to that, obviously we like to perform for an audience. So we program as wide a variety of music during the course of a season, everything from a cappella arrangements of popular tunes like you'd hear on Glee or any of those kind of more popular current shows, to things like the Mozart Requiem, Haydn's Creation, you know, pieces that serious classical music lovers, and everything in between, including Broadway. And so we're trying to cast as wide a net as possible to give both our singers and our audience the widest possible variety of musical experiences and ways in which to engage. Another element we're actively trying to add to our concert experience, in addition to visual elements and lots of different kinds of music, is that in each concert planned for next season, we're involving the audience as a singing body itself in each of our concerts. So every program next season will have some element of an audience sing-along. Our goal is just to get everyone that we can in the community to sing something with us during the course of the year.
I think that sounds like a good idea, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's a lot of fun.
We'll see how it goes.
People enjoy it.
Well, the Burn Hills Oratorio Society's The Gift of Life concert will take place at the Church of the Immaculate Conception in Glenville, New York, on June 15th. To learn more, all you have to do is go to BHOS. What does that stand for? Well, Burn Hills Oratorio Society, BHOS.us. That link will be posted along with this interview at WAMC.org/roundtable. William, Dave, thank you very much for being with us. What a great pleasure.
Thanks,
Joe.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.